This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
This is my lovely wife, by the way. So keep your nice comments about my wife nicely in the chat room.
Oh, they're nice.
I know they're nice. Hey, welcome to the show on this Wednesday. Great to have you here. We've got a lot of news to get to. Is Israel's government on the verge of collapse? The October 7th anniversary has shined a light on Benjamin Netanyahu's incompetence on that day, allowing October 7th to happen. People forget the chaos that was unfolding in Israel in the weeks before October 7th, with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets, demanding that Netanyahu resign and the government collapse. Well, his opposition leader is calling for the same thing to happen right now. So how much longer will Bibi survive? We'll talk about that today.
If you stand with Israelis, you should stand for their choice to have a government that's not at war. We're also going to talk to Senator Rand Paul coming up about the government shutdown, whether or not Democrats are playing theater, Republicans are playing theater. They both are. He's really the only serious actor, so it's going to be a pleasure to talk to him.
Also, Rob O'Neill, the man who shot Osama bin Laden, is on the show because leftists going after him now. And how many more leftists are we seeing targeting United States members of ICE enforcement? There's now a bounty out on ICE law enforcement agents by gang members in Los Angeles right now, illegal immigrant gangs. So these violent leftists, I know, remember President Biden said the greatest threat to the United States was white supremacists. What about violent leftists who are killing people, targeting assassinations of Supreme Court judges, and going after our friend, Rob O'Neill? We're going to speak to him a little bit later in the show.
Plus, there's a new spin for trans activists. It comes from medical journals. They're saying, you know, you can be trans sometimes, and then you can be not trans sometimes, which is an amazing say. It's like self-own is what I want to say. This is what they're selling us now because their narrative has collapsed, and it makes me mad. So we're going to talk about it. I'm inviting you to feel however you want, but I think you're going to be mad after all this crap we've been sold against the children. So yeah, all of that is coming at you fast and furious. We're so glad you're here. Hey, we don't ask you this a lot. If you're not already subscribed, please do. It's free. And whatever platform you're watching us in, if you can interact, it helps the algorithm get other people to watch and join independent thinkers. So please leave a comment, whatever you can do. Share if you can. We'd really appreciate it. Before we get to the first story on Israel, we'd like to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the Fed has finally dropped interest rates, and that's great news for American homeowners. Expenses have been a major burden on families. Wages are flat. Prices keep climbing. And for many, the only way to make ends meet is to use credit cards and climb into debt. But that cycle of high interest debt makes it hard to stay ahead. So if you're a homeowner, you should call our friends over at American Financing and learn the trick that wealthy people have always known, which is that you can leverage your assets and build wealth instead of dig into debt. Right now, again, interest rates are dropping, and you can get a home equity loan in the fives. If you compare that to the credit card interest rates that you're using to run your expenses in the 20s, well, then that's an easy teeter-totter. You put the better interest rate in the favorable area of your life. So again, they can help you pay off your expensive debt, free up your cash flow, and keep your budget under control. They have salary-based mortgage consultants to save their customers an average of $800 a month. And if you get started today, you may be able to delay your next mortgage payment or two. So take control. Call American Financing at 866-890-8434 or head on over to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Again, AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
All right. Well, in the days right before October 7th, something big was happening in Israel. Massive protests hitting the street of Tel Aviv, demanding a new government there. They wanted the overthrow of the corrupt Netanyahu government. And of course, we had redacted new individuals who worked for the Netanyahu government, who quit and told us how corrupt he is.
So we covered these protests at the time, straight from Tel Aviv.
So that there, yeah, there's the headline there. Hundreds of thousands march in Israel against Netanyahu's judicial overhaul. You notice the timestamp on that was 2023, shortly before October 7th. Israelis were finished with Bibi's corruption, trying to take over the judiciary, essentially giving himself more control. The hundreds of thousands of protesters demanding that he step down weren't some fanatical leftists either. The opposition was broad across all sectors of Israel, involving civil society, tech sector leaders, reservist soldiers, IDF soldiers, media outlets, and municipal governments. In some cases, entire industries threatened walkouts of their companies and businesses over Netanyahu. And then guess what? Suddenly, October 7th happened. It's convenient. IDF soldiers have confirmed, of course, that during court hearings, they were told to stand down for 6 to 8 hours on the morning of October 7th to allow Hamas basically to carry out these attacks.
אצלנו השבעה באוקטובר מתחיל לפני שש וחצי. אני הייתי לוחם במחלקת מרגמות בגדוד 13, גולני, ובאותו לילה אני, יותם סור, הסמל שלי תמר בן יהודה, זיכרונו לברכה, שלושתנו עושים לילה לבן. הרשינו לעצמנו בשבתות וחגים במיוחד לעשות לילה לבן עד לכוננות עם שחר, ואתם יודעים, יש לנו זמן לישון מחלקת מרגמות עד לכוננות הבאה. אז ב-5:20 בבוקר אנחנו יושבים ליד הקשר כדי לא להעיר מאזין, והסמגד שלי, ניר בוינפלק, שגם הוא נפצע קשה.
Yeah, so stand down, don't wake
Sleep
up.
Sleep late.
Sleep
All
late
good.
This particular day.
Have a lion.
Everyone knew it was coming. Mossad knew it was coming. Egyptian intelligence warned Mossad multiple times that it was coming. So we even talked to Israelis who left Israel prior to October 7th, who told us they're now living in Greece. They said, we knew it was coming, and we left. So everyone knew it was coming. The most heavily guarded, monitored border in the world, everyone knew it was coming. So the timing was perfect for Netanyahu. He gets to hold on to power because now they're at war. Well, those protests have returned, and government opposition to get rid of Netanyahu is growing once again. Israel's opposition leader, Yair Lapid, denouncing the Netanyahu regime, which he calls extremist and a failed government, and he's calling for Israelis to throw him out now. He blames Netanyahu for Israel's low standing around the world. He blames Bibi for its low relationship with the United States. He blames Bibi for destroying Israel's democratic foundations. He blames Netanyahu for allowing October 7th to happen and the failures of October 7th and why so many Israelis were killed that day. You basically put them out to slaughter. You allowed them to die on purpose. So will the mainstream media cover this? Of course not. They want you to believe the lie that all Israelis love Benjamin Netanyahu and are united in support of a genocide in Gaza. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Daniel McAdams is from the Ron Paul Institute and a great thinker on this, and I believe served in the House Foreign Relations Committee a number of years ago and knows this perhaps better than anyone. Daniel, welcome back to the show. Great to see you, our friend.
Thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
So when you see... Well, first of all, the mainstream media is ignoring this story. And anytime you see some people on the streets in Tel Aviv, we're all told that it has nothing to do with protesting Netanyahu. Don't believe your lying eyes, that everyone in Israel loves Netanyahu. But the truth couldn't be further from the truth. Can you speak to that?
Is there any mainstream media not owned by Larry Ellison now? I'm not sure. Are there any channels left?
Right.
I wonder why it's not being covered, whatsoever by the mainstream media. But you remember back the Project for the New American Century before 9/11, they put out a document that said America needs to have a Pearl Harbor moment. Well, that's exactly what happened in Israel, and I think you put it very well together. There is absolutely no way they could have had this genocide, this ethnic cleansing in Gaza without October 7th. If it was just a fortuitous accident, it would be the most coincidental event probably in world history.
Now, probably your feed, like mine, is full of all of these agents of Israel on X telling me that we must support the Israeli government. And what they mean by that is continue to support Netanyahu's war. And so it makes me so confused that these agents of Israel would not understand the temperature of actual Israelis that want a peaceful government, that want this extremist government to be thrown out and want to actually have some choice. Where do you think that disconnect is? Is it just because those agents are a direct line to Netanyahu's government?
Well, there's a lot of money out there to pay people. But I hate to throw cold water on this thesis because I like the thesis as well. And perhaps these recent polls are untrue, but it does show a very high level of support in Israel for the ethnic cleansing of Gaza. I think as high as 80-some%. So I wonder how much of this is political jockeying on behalf of a very, in opposed to a very, very unpopular prime minister for a number of reasons, including corruption problems, and how much of it is that there is a big chunk of Israel right now that does not want to continue Palestinians. Now, some of that blame is certainly for them, but some of them is years and years of propagandization and constant, nonstop propagandization from a very early age. I was just looking at it. You talk about our feed. I just looked at something where someone was in a New York protest, a pro-Israel protest, with a sign, "Kill them all," and that was 2 years before October 7th. So this has been something that's been drummed into them for a long time.
Right.
What about Netanyahu himself and the opposition? So you're seeing Yair Lapid, who's calling for the overthrow of the Netanyahu government, establishing a democratically supportive government, down with the corruption. Netanyahu is not going to call for an investigation into October 7th until he has said the war is over, which means by that time he'll be likely out of power. Because he's holding on to power. So what do you make of the opposition in Israel? How strong is it? And will they gain any traction for a government collapse?
Well, unlike at the time of Rabin, there was no peace party in Israel. You know, I remember when Rabin died. In fact, I signed his book of condolences in the Israeli embassy in Budapest. That was a person who stood in opposition to Netanyahu. And there's a lot of evidence that Netanyahu actually had him killed. I don't see a Rabin-like figure in Israel right now that says we need to find peace. We need to find a way to live in our neighborhood, to live with our neighbors. We can't just keep bombing people and expect to somehow survive, because at some point they're going to be able to hit us back and it'll be the end of us. I just don't see a figure like that. Maybe that figure exists somewhere, but I certainly don't see any evidence of it right now.
Well, yeah. And it would be hard for us to know because we can't break through the algorithm. The media won't tell us about it. You know, if you think of how the media covers opposition, like they thought Alexei Navalny was a serious contender for the Russian president and some kind of hero. And then when you actually do the study, he was a blowhard. And so
I had like less than 2% support.
In urban centers. So how can we possibly know what's true at this point? But I think your point is well taken. That even though there is support for the war in Gaza to continue, because Israelis sort of believe that will be theirs soon, and it does seem like that there at least will be a proxy that will belong to them, right?
I remember right after 9/11 when they were pushing the Patriot Act through, and Dr. Paul was one of very few people to vote against it. And the attitude at the time was that, what kind of monster are you? Don't you realize we've just been hit? How dare you not give away all of our liberties so that we can be kept safe? And it took time for us to realize that the government didn't want the Patriot Act to spy on the bad guys. They wanted to spy on us. So there still probably is a lot of that. Israel's a small country with a sort of an insular society and sort of single goal oriented society. So that may be still some of that. How dare you come out as a peace candidate? Don't you know we're at war? It's hard to know, honestly.
Yeah,
you're right. There's even in the opposition to Netanyahu right now, there still seems to be some delusion and still like a bloodlust for taking over all of Gaza. Because even if you read in the foreignaffairs.com article, the opinion piece written by Yair Lapid, who is the opposition to Netanyahu, calls him corrupt, wants him thrown out, there is still some delusion there. He says, I'm going to quote him now. Before October 7th, Israel was known for its innovative tech-driven economy, its strong, vibrant democracy, resolutely independent judicial system. Mm. It was a country with more Nobel Prize winners than all 22 Arab countries together, diplomatic connections to Washington, Abu Dhabi, peace treaties with Egypt and Jordan. So, it seems to be a little bit of delusion there on his part, but this is the main opposition.
But you don't forget that by design, there really isn't a counterpart on the Palestinian side to negotiate with. You know, we all know that Hamas was created and supported by Israel so that there wasn't a sort of pan-Palestinian, Muslim, and Christian coalition as they had in the West Bank. They created this so there wouldn't be anyone to talk to. That was the idea. That's how to get around any kind of solution. So now we're in a situation where who are you going to talk to? It's very, very difficult. There wouldn't be a counterpart. If a peace candidate emerged in Israel, there wouldn't be the equivalent on the Palestinian side at the moment because they've all been, well, killed, and they were also not allowed to be nurtured to organically grow up from within the society.
And social media has really been tamped down too, Dan, because I remember during the protests before October 7th, I mean, you had hundreds of thousands of people on the streets in Tel Aviv. I had friends who live in Tel Aviv. Yes, I know it's maybe hard to believe, but I have friends in Tel Aviv. And they were FaceTiming me, showing me out their window unbelievable protests. And they're telling me how corrupt the Netanyahu government is. And people want him out. And the words that we were being told to me was, you know, Clayton, this is bad. This is bad. They want him gone. He is corrupt. We're sick of it. So, like, people, it's just, like, totally whitewashed now. Like, social media, like, we're, like, memory hole this whole thing.
This is a guy who brings his dirty skivvies to Washington when he comes back to get them laundered. So right. He's not the paragon of appropriateness, let's put it that way. But yeah, the corruption, I'm sure, has been very, very deep. And listen, he's been in power since 1996. I remember when he was elected. I thought it was a great thing. I thought he was a good conservative guy. Wow, that's changed a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
But you notice that today is October 8th. Yesterday was October 7th. There was a major push to remind us of this tragedy and remind us of, you know, who they think is the real victims, which is Israel here, even though the exchange rate for lives has now proved to be about 1 to 100 to about 50,000, in my estimation. That might be conservative. And I don't think it got the traction that they were hoping for.
It was a big PR push.
Yeah. So what do you make of that? And it's not that we lack that we lack sympathy for the civilian victims of October 7th. Absolutely, we do. We think they are the victims of both Hamas and the Israeli government. But what they needed from us is carte blanche to continue to exterminate civilians. And it doesn't seem like they got it.
Well, the photographs that they have that they present as this evidence, it really is damning. You know, that you're going to tell me that a few dozen guys, you know, parachuting down in lawn chairs with AK-47s were able to somehow incinerate hundreds of automobiles. I've never seen that happen before. I've fired AKs. They don't seem to have that option. You know, there's no auto flamethrower, this sort of thing. So obviously, yeah, we have sympathy for the people that were killed, but who killed them? Who killed the most of them? That wonderful testimony you showed is very revealing. Also, there's testimony in other aspects of the Hannibal Directive that said, stand down and let this happen. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And it must be a wake-up call for the Israeli people to realize that their own government doesn't give a crap if they live or die, if they serve for a higher purpose. It's one thing for the Palestinians to be treated that way. But hang on a minute. Us too? Wow.
Right. Yeah. Hamas killing out and killing civilians and killing IDF soldiers. Awful. But how did that happen? Like, are we not allowed to question that and be outraged at these? I feel my heart goes out to these young IDF soldier girls who were just like fresh out of college. They were like along the, like a lot of the border post outposts, and they were slaughtered, and they were put out to slaughter on purpose by the Israeli government. And that's what kills me the most. Yes, Hamas did the shooting, used the bullets, but it was the Israelis who put them out there on purpose as cannon fodder, because they knew it was coming. And that, there's no talk about that. And that to me is absolutely outrageous, in the same way that we should all be upset about the collusion with the United States government and Lyndon Johnson with the Israeli government in killing American sailors on the USS Liberty, or you know, wherever. I mean, it's just infuriating to me that we're just memory holding this part of the story. And there's enough Israeli voices, though, that I think are loud enough where we're not going to memory hold this. Dan, any final thoughts?
Well, it's a good thing that you point out these young girls. I mean, they're cannon fodder, but they're also fresh, pretty young faces that are put out there for a reason, because that's how they look. They're nice looking young gals, and to see them destroyed for propaganda value is really disgusting.
Oh, that's a great point. I hadn't really thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, these are the girls that Hamas killed on October 7th. Yeah. They were put there on purpose by the Israeli government. Never forget. Dan, great to see you. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to talk to Senator Rand Paul about the government shutdown. How much longer will it last? What is actually at stake? He doesn't play games. He may laugh and joke, but he doesn't play. So we're going to talk to him coming up. But first,
Senator Paul is not one to. Yeah, he does not handle bullshit. This guy.
I wouldn't say no.
Like, I've interviewed Senator Paul many years, and mm-hmm. like you want to like crack joke. He's like all serious. He's like, no, we've got a country to save. Yeah. He's like, I don't have time for this. We've got a country to save. Anyway, you're right about that.
Let's see if we can charm him with our sense of humor
and our beauty. All right. Okay. I want to tell you about Seoul, because look, I don't know if you've seen the numbers on like people drinking alcohol, but the numbers have plummeted. Why? Because people just don't want to feel like crap the next day. So sure, you have a beer here and there, but what if you could have something that'll just, you know, chill you out, relax you a little bit, but no hangover, none of the effects that you're getting with alcohol. And that's where our friends from Seoul come in, because their products are fantastic. I enjoy them very, very much. I love having one of their out of office drinks on the weekend. I really enjoy it. And even sometimes during the week, if I may say, like on Thursday night after our show is over, I don't mind having an out of office drink, because it's just the perfect chill, perfect vibe. But guess what? You're not going to feel hungover, none of that. So what do they do exactly? Well, they're hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood, help you unwind. Their best-selling out-of-office gummies were designed to provide a mild, relaxing buzz, boost your mood, and enhance creativity and relaxation. We have a friend that enjoys those. I've never tried those. I've only done the out-of-office drinks, which I like. 5 different strengths that you can get from those gummies. And if you like that, if you like the gummies, try their out-of-office beverage, refreshing alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing with friends. So try it today. Try Seoul today. Go to GetSeoul.com. Use the code REDACTED. That's GetSeoul.com. Promo code REDACTED to get 30% off. That's right, 30% off. GetSeoul.com.
Well, Senator Rand Paul is one of the few who is not playing political theater over this government shutdown. He says that Democrats are going to cave in a few days after they've played tough to their base. But Politico is saying this is causing division between Republicans. Senator Rand Paul has not sided with either of them, and he joins us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us why you haven't joined the ranks of your fellow Republicans and what you think Democrats are playing at?
Can I hear this?
And what your position is?
Well, you know, the one thing that's truly bipartisan in Washington is spending money and running up the debt. Really, both parties are responsible for this. And so I'm presented with two choices. The Republican choice from December of last year. That led to a deficit this year of almost $2 trillion and is projected to be a deficit next year of about $2.1 trillion. So I'm just not for that. I think we should be having lower deficits, less deficits, and begin to balance our budget. The Democrat proposal would add $3 trillion to the debt. So Republicans would add $2 trillion, Democrats would add $3 trillion. I'm just not for either one. And so I voted no on both of them. Now, the irony is that the Democrats, since these are the Biden spending levels, every Democrat in the Senate did vote for the Biden spending levels last December. So the vote that we're taking now is identical to one they already took where they all voted for it. The reason they're voting no now is they've moved the goalposts. They've decided that they want to renew these expiring Obamacare subsidies that they started during the pandemic. And, you know, they're all hot and bothered about it. But the reason they're expiring is because the Democrats wrote that into their legislation. because when you do these bills, they're called reconciliation bills, with a simple majority, you have certain rules over 10 years you can't add to the deficit. And so they only can spend the money for a couple years and then it expires. But they basically move the goalposts and they want renewed Obamacare subsidies and a whole slew of new programs added in as well. And bottom line is both parties' proposals are terrible and will add to the debt.
Now, I'm with you that I would love to see government shrunk, but at the same time, this feels a little bit dirty politics because it's a way to not have to win elections and still get your fiscal policy. The Democrats were free to have won last year and set their own budgets going forward, but since they did not, they are sort of, for lack of a better, they're peeing in the pool of what the voters voted for, which was Republican fiscal policy. Do you see it that way, or am I just being cynical?
Yeah, and Republicans, I think, should hold the line. Now, the one problem that exists is in the Senate, you have to have 60 votes to pass the spending bill. So there aren't 60 Republicans. There's 53 Republicans. And if they wanted my vote, they'd have to be actually making the deficit smaller. The fact that they're keeping it the same, they lose my vote. But now they need to convince 8 Democrats. It shouldn't be that hard because, like I said, the Democrats have already voted for these spending levels previously. But ultimately, it will have to have both parties voting for a spending bill for it to go forward. I think there will come a day when the opposite compromise occurs. Instead of both parties getting together to raise all spending, maybe they get together to lower all spending. And that's what I proposed. I proposed something called the penny plan budget, which has across-the-board spending cuts and would balance our budget in 5 years. They voted on my budget about 2 weeks ago, and I was able to get 36 Republicans to support it. That still means I lost 16 Republicans, but then I lost all of the Democrats. So the will to actually reduce the debt and to reduce the deficit and go towards a balanced budget just isn't strong enough. I mean, there aren't enough Republicans and there are zero Democrats.
You know, my favorite president, Calvin Coolidge, would say every cent that I spend is a theft of the American people. It means the working man has to work harder. And so I don't understand why that is not something that all politicians understand, that the less we spend, the easier it is on you. Tell us where you would make these cuts then in the penny plan budget.
Everywhere. So that what they would do is be across the board. So when we first started proposing this a few years ago, all you had to do was cut 1% of all on budget spending and cut 1% each subsequent year for 5 years to balance. Through the pandemic, though, spending exploded, and that spending has not gone away. So now it's actually called the six penny plan. You have to have a 6% cut across the board. When we propose the budget, we just say that it has to be done. 6% of every department would have to go down. The dictates of exactly what 6% that would be done by the committees at the time. But this gives an outline for how to do it, and that means you have to cut a little bit of everything. I also think it's a little bit easier not just to cut Democrat programs or cut Republican-favored programs. You cut a little bit of everything, and that can bring the spending down a little bit each year, and you end up getting to balance in about 5 years.
I mean, it's exceedingly reasonable. It's fiction that worked in the movie Dave. We've seen it happen, but politicians refuse. Now, you have expressed concern about military expansion, specifically with bombing raids in South America. Now we have a new independent report showing over $21 billion in military aid to Israel since October 7th of 2023. How in the world can we pull back? How do we get this horse back in the barn?
You know, well, we don't have any of that money. So no matter how good the cause is, so no matter how good the arguments are for spending money, we don't have it. So when the Democrats come forward and they say they want to help people buy insurance, I have to ask whether that's been working, and it hasn't been working very well. But then where's the money going to come from? They want $450 billion. Where does it come from? So if they want to send money to Ukraine, where does that come from? Or Israel or any other country? It's basically being borrowed. And it is a bit of a bait and switch because many of the programs are offered to the poor. They say, politicians come and say, I will bring home the bacon. I will give you more stuff. Healthcare will be free. Your car will be free. College will be free. I'll give you free this and free that. The problem is when they give you these things, they aren't really free. They're ultimately paid for by the devaluation of the dollar, which another word for that is inflation. So when they inflate by the Federal Reserve buying the debt, your prices go up. And poor people get this bait and switch. They think they're getting something for nothing. And the Democrats primarily will say, we'll give you this. But they never seem to get out of poverty because their prices rise faster than the welfare does. And they seem to be mired in this poverty and never get ahead. So it's a difficult argument, though, because the Democrats and some of the Republicans are offering free stuff, baubles, offering something that is less concrete and more aspirational, which is the opportunity to have a marketplace where you can thrive if you work hard.
It's incredibly frustrating because you were one of the few who were warning about pandemic relief money and warning the working class. If you accept this, your cost of living is going. So what was that $300 worth to you now that your cost of living is up by, I don't know, 25% since then? So I'm going to just give you the opportunity to take a victory lap here because you warned us. And unfortunately, we're not learning collectively. So what do you think? How are we supposed to take it then when we see these high war bills for Israel, for Ukraine, and yet our fellow working federal worker not getting a paycheck? Do you have any comment on that and how the American people can react to that?
Well, when I bring the argument directly back to people in Kentucky, many of whom are living in poverty, and I ask them, do you want me to vote to send money to Ukraine, or would you rather the money be directed towards home or left in your pocket to begin with? I don't find anybody bugging me and saying, oh, please send more money to Ukraine. I find almost no constituency for that. On the Israel question, there have been people who have been sympathetic to Israel for a long time, but at the same time, I think their patience is wearing thin. And I tell them that, look, we cannot be a strong ally that will be there in times of need to any country if we're $37 trillion headed quickly towards $40 trillion in debt. So I think our debt is really a big threat to our national security. And for all those who think the primary thing is we got to be strong, 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 you can't be a strong nation. You can't defend yourself well if you're this far in debt. So I think we have to do something about the debt above and beyond and before all other causes.
Right. Okay, I just have one more question about Dr. Fauci and the COVID vaccine, because this is something you've been a real thought leader on. Now, the CDC, after withdrawing approval of the vaccine for the general population, now says, well, it's more of a personal choice. It's kind of like deodorant. You know, use it if you want to. Otherwise, you don't have to. I don't know about this. It feels really hard to separate politics from actual medical care. On the one hand, this should appease the Democrats and diffuse their fear narrative that RFK Jr. would take away their vaccines. On the other hand, it leaves the door open under this vague case-by-case model. Seems like it benefits more the insurance companies and big pharma than actual Americans who would need real medical guidance. What do you think of this?
I think most of your medical guidance should come from your individual physician. And so when RFK has put forward a policy now that for most Americans that are not in a high-risk category, the COVID vaccine should be based on individual patient-based decision-making. Well, that to me just sounds like freedom. It sounds like what we're supposed to have always. But in particular, the problem with the COVID vaccine of putting it on a CDC schedule is that it gets mandated through the school system that you have to take it. And not only is there no indication that your child or teenager needs this for a scientific or medical reason, there is actually information that for your teenager, the COVID vaccine is actually more harmful than good, that the risks of the vaccine are worse than the risk of the disease. And all of this needs to be reassessed all along. We found out that initially they were not telling us the truth. The vaccine doesn't stop transmission. But they argued that it reduced hospitalization and death for the elderly. Well, I think it probably did in 2020, maybe 2021. But I think if you were to study it now, and you take a COVID vaccine or a COVID booster, and you argue, will you go to the hospital more or less if you take the booster or if you don't take the booster, I think it's going to be a wash. I think there are so very few people going to the hospital that it's going to be hard to show that a vaccine booster makes any difference at all. And it needs to be restudied. But the bottom line is, I agree with Kennedy that it ought to be about your choice. It ought to be about you and your physician having an intelligent discussion. It might matter how much you weigh. It might matter whether you have diabetes, hypertension. It might matter your age, particularly your age with regard to things like COVID. But I'm all for more freedom of decision making and allowing these decisions to be made really on a personal level between the patient and their doctor.
Right. Okay. I like that emphasis on freedom. And I know it's hard to see these as equivalents, but if James Comey can be indicted for lying to Congress, you have recommended that Dr. Fauci be investigated for lying to you. We've seen it many times. I know this is a false equivalency, but where do you think the Department of Justice stands on that for having consequences for actually lying to the American people during the pandemic?
You know, we tried for several years to get information on his lying to Congress, the evidence, and we were stymied by the Biden administration. But Secretary Kennedy has released this information. We have now looked at all of it, and we have explicit and detailed information of Anthony Fauci lying under oath. Under oath, he said that he never destroyed federal records and never directed other people to destroy federal records. We now have emails sent from his account, from his government account, instructing other government officials to delete and destroy federal records. So we do believe there is a strong case. We have referred this again to the Department of Justice. Sometimes you see people online frustrated. Why can't I do anything about Fauci? Why isn't he in jail yet? But I don't really control that. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not at the Department of Justice. But we've done everything possible to do that. We've also requested voluntarily for him to come in for a interview or for testimony again. That will either happen voluntarily, or if it doesn't, it'll be done by subpoena. But that's in the works and should happen this fall.
Well, we share your frustration. Senator Rand Paul, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. It really was a pleasure. I wish you the best. I know that it's frustrating in Washington right now. Thank you for taking the time for Redacted.
Thank you.
And thanks, Senator. Great to see you. Sorry, we had some looping audio there, I heard. So I apologize. We heard like bup, 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 bup.
Yeah, not sure what that was.
That was coming from his end.
Okay. Oh, like a Max Hedges.
That wasn't our end. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, always great to talk to Senator Paul on the show. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to speak to Rob O'Neill, former U.S. Navy SEAL. Again, right now being targeted by leftists who are pushing a false narrative on social media, which is putting his family in danger. But of course, this is the playbook of leftists right now, targeting, going after President Trump, going after ICE agents right now. There's a bounty out now on ICE agents. This is the nation that we live in right now. We're going to speak to Rob in moments about that. Plus,
we're also going to talk about this new transgender agenda spin, which is we're all trans a little bit. We're all a little bit trans.
Do you feel a little trans
today?
And
sometimes you can be trans and then sometimes you're not trans and there's no binary. So as before,
Finally, the
binary was, I know this is literally what we TERFs have been saying all along. Way to catch up, you jerks. But we're going to, it's just like a rewriting because they lost the plot so badly. So we're going to look at this.
Finally, we're standing up for people like David.
Yeah, right? Okay. David, I'm going to tell you about some good skincare then, if you're just a little bit trans today. So do you wish that you could have that double chin disappear now? There's a news flash, ladies and gentlemen. If you look at your jawline, it does tell your age. That's why we want to tell you about Genucel's new neckline lift with dual peptide and MDL technology. Genucel's most advanced technology ever not only tightens the saggy skin around your neck and chin, but it plumps the lipophilic, which is the layers of your skin that contours and defines the neckline, within minutes. Using peptides and metolactones together for the first time works amazingly quick, and the results get better every day. So check out Genucel's MDL technology and their brand new neck lift line, specifically targeting the delicate skin on their neck area. For healthy, younger looking skin, you'll see your mirror smile back at you, or 100% of your money back, no questions asked. You get 120 days money back guarantee if you don't like it. So order now and get the Genucel for a immediate effects for noticeable results in minutes with your order. No double chin, no turkey neck, no sagging neckline, because nobody needs to know your age unless you want them to. Go to genucel.com/redacted. Order now and get free shipping. That's genucel.com/redacted. One more time, genucel.com/redacted.
I'm kind of offended because you said that you were going to do that ad for me for the thing, and then you went straight to double chin. Like I'd...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually, since David wears a beard, is your camera on today? I have no idea what your chin looks like. So I will
it's hidden.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
It's hidden under a beard.
Right.
No.
You got no camera today?
No, I do, but it's not on this setup I have.
Okay. All right. Well, you guys are going to have to picture David with his manly beard. And we have no idea what his neckline looks like.
You know, we're off next week. We're taking a week off of live shows. And I said to her, I'm gonna grow a beard next week. I'm going to grow a beard on my week off.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And I can grow a beard pretty quickly, like in one day. I'm like a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to work at, you know, in television back in the day, now I just do this. But they used to complain because I'd shave at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and then buy it like when the show was almost over at the end of the show. Like
because Fox and Friends is a 4-hour show. So if you would shave at 4:30 a.m, then get in the car and go into the studio. And by 9:30, he'd get emails from executives saying, Clayton needs to shave.
I'm like,
I
shaved this morning.
That's how manly he is.
Right.
Really manly, my husband.
That's right. We're going to talk to another real man here in a second. All right. Well, violent leftists are destroying America. That's no secret. Carrying out assassination attempts against President Trump, murdering Charlie Kirk, trying to kill Justice Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, and other members of the Supreme Court. They just put out a bounty on federal ICE agents trying to kill them. These people are unbelievable. They're in the country illegally and they're putting out a bounty. Remember when President Biden told us the greatest threat to the United States was violent white supremacists? Of course, that was a lie. The greatest threat to America right now, violent leftists destroying American cities, flooding our open borders with millions of illegal immigrants. Now we have to clean up the mess. And now they're going after another American hero, former U.S. Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Osama bin Laden. Here's what Occupy Democrats posted. How much should Fox News get sued for this time? And what they're showing here is Rob O'Neill on the right-hand side, and they're saying that this masked individual who's an Antifa and a Mexican, all these masked individuals who speak to Jesse Waters, I guess, on a regular basis, all of them have one thing in common. Apparently, according to these nutjob Democrats, it's Rob O'Neill under that mask. He's pretending to be Antifa, right? The group known as Occupy Democrats are saying that Fox News hired Rob to put on a mask and do interviews with Jesse. All right, pretending to be a member of a Mexican cartel or Antifa. I mean, it's insane. But Rob just posted this on social media saying, "This is extremely dangerous for my family. Reckless and untrue. You're the ones who will now need lawyers, Occupy Democrats." Joining us now is that man, Rob O'Neill, who's dealing with these nut jobs. Rob, great to see you. It's been a while since we last got a chance to talk. Great to see you.
It has. It's good to see you, Clay. You and your wife are doing great things.
Thank you so much. Well, when you see groups like these Occupy Democrats spreading lies that you wore a cartel mask for Fox News, what's really going on here? Do you think this is like a coordinated attempt to discredit you and try to silence patriotic voices out there? What's going on?
Well, I don't know, because I kind of woke up to this. I sort of heard about it yesterday, and I'm like, yeah, I think I even tweeted, yeah, you got me. I'm definitely Antifa. Now, quick, dispatch some A-10s and wipe us out. Because I was just kind of joking. But then Occupy Democrats posted this, and it just said it was me working in cahoots with Fox. And I'm trying to make them falsely look violent, and I'm pretending to be a cartel member, which is all, I mean, that's just ridiculous and reckless. It's not true. I used to be a contributor at Fox, but I haven't been on Fox News since about 2022. So it's been about 3 years, and maybe I could see that they, you know, like they have crisis actors all the time that happen to show up at the same places, anywhere from Gaza to the Ground Zero to out west in Portland or whatever. And maybe because it's out of their communist playbook, they think I'm an actor. But, you know, I fought for this country. I believe in this country. And I've been threatened before. I've gotten tweets from people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all that bullshit. But for this, like the other stuff, at least there was a reason they might be mad at me. This is completely out of nowhere. I have nothing to do with this. Obviously, I think Antifa are terrorists. And, you know, I disagree with the cartels coming here. I hate the open borders. But just to target my family. And, they, you know, they they're not completely unorganized. They've got good networks. They've got people out there. And I don't need people to be threatened for no reason. Like, if, you know, they want to come after me, fine. They can learn how to fight. But just to target people out of nowhere, it was funny to me. But then when my family starts to get concerned, I want to protect them.
Yeah, I mean, your wife, I think you were saying offline, like, scared to travel. Like, you know, it starts out as a joke, right? People making these comments, and then you see it's not a joke anymore. You see the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We see the attempted assassination of President Trump. As you pointed out, the Supreme Court justices, on and on and on. This is not a joke.
No, and it's the left too saying the big issue is white supremacy from the right, when that's obviously nonsense. That's the whole admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. And it's been so far, like, I've had people waiting for me at airports, taking off and landing, just to sign pictures and whatnot. But how do they get the info? Can other people get the info? What if it's not me? And again, I could take care of myself, but my family doesn't need this crap, especially because they didn't do anything. Like, you know, I wasn't even married to my wife when I was in the Navy. So she got the Navy stuff, nothing to do with, and this threat to the family, she has nothing to do with. My kids certainly have nothing to do with. And just to potentially get that, if, you know, who knows if they end up in a gun-free zone like a college campus and you run into a bunch of crazies, obviously avoid the people with the blue hair, because they're going to be the problem. And I know they're all talk and I can handle myself, but other people, there's no reason for needless violence like this. And it's one thing that we've seen with this cyberbullying. What happens? You've seen the people going to the schools, going to the churches, and it's, you know, people shooting people up because they get spun up by paid agitators, paid facilitators. There are people that are pushing this, but some people are crazy enough to believe this. I mean, look at the people out there that have committed suicide because AI told them to do it, because AI told them they were their girlfriend. Now we can be together if you kill yourself. You know, I mean, there's some. The one thing about the internet that I think was unintended is we're a lot closer in touch with crazy people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And now, you know, President Trump is, of course, authorized National Guard. ICE agents are going into these horrible conditions right now in Chicago. I've been getting live updates from Chicago from reporters and friends who are there on the street, just getting pushed around, knocked around, beat up. As a former U.S. Navy SEAL, when you're looking at American soldiers in American cities having to deal with this, these sort of violent uprisings and so forth, what are they facing?
This is very difficult for the military, even though the National Guard is that reason. A lot of the National Guardsmen have been in combat. We've been over there, and we are the good guys. And I don't care what anyone says where we go, even if it's you disagree with the political reasons why we went to where we are. We're the good guys, and we try to do the right thing. And that includes even to combatants' families in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. But now you're asking the National Guard to go in potential violent situations against Americans, and the Guardsmen, regardless of the politics on the left, the Guardsmen do not want to have to hurt Americans. That's not what they want to do. So this is a very tough situation. The good news for the bad guys in this situation is there's going to be a lot of leverage they're going to get, because they don't want to. I really hope it doesn't come down to pulling the trigger. I even hate to see people getting shot. Well, sometimes people getting hit with paintball and pepper spray is kind of funny, but I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to see lethal force. As someone who's been to combat, 400 combat missions, I've seen a lot of death. I'm not a pro-war guy, and I certainly don't want to see it in the streets. But I mean, there's a lot of, I'm a big believer in sometimes it doesn't matter why we're here, we're just here. But you do need to look back at this and realize there's a lot of people on the left in politics, in entertainment, and especially on Capitol Hill that are really egging this on. They're really getting people spun up. They're agitators, and they know it. And they're only doing it for their own personal power, and especially the politicians. They don't even care if people get hurt. They actually like it because they get more clicks. That's how narcissistic they are, and that magnet for sociopaths of the capital of this nation.
Well, Hakeem Jeffries, just calling for this. You know, we're going to take it violence in the streets, basically. It's basically what he's calling for. We're going to fight this in the streets. We're going to fight this in Washington. We're going to fight this in the courts. And we're going to fight it on the streets. That's what he's calling for. People to rise up against Americans, American National Guard and ICE agents in these cities.
Right, and that's federal law enforcement. That's law enforcement protecting the city and American soldiers. Look at that dude in Virginia. What's his name? Jay Jones. And he's tweeting out how he'd be happy to watch this dude's wife have to watch her kids die in her arms so she feels pain. And Democrats are, like Tim Kaine's defending him? Like, on what planet do you defend someone that sick and let him continue to run? This is nothing to them because they're so far detached from reality. It's like Chuck Schumer pretending he's barbecuing. He doesn't even know how to do it because cheese doesn't go on raw meat. These people are detached. They don't care. They're power hungry. They will do anything. And it's, I mean, it's power first, then it's party. America, not even in the equation. Your top 10 might be a constituent or two simply because they're probably also donors. I think people need to realize they're getting spun up by entities out there that don't care about them, but they pretend they do. Look at all that. Look, I mean, even look at the immigration law was vetoed by, I think, President Truman, and Congress overrode it. And we've had the same law since then. And for the past few years, you know, before Trump got elected, we just let them go. And then they're making up stuff like America's invading America and it's a takeover by fascists when the left is the one choosing the fascist tactics. If you don't like what someone's saying, you kill them. That's what they're doing. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Bottom line, stand down, you nut jobs, and stop this violence.
Not so
rhetoric.
Many words. That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah. Stand down, you nut jobs. Leave Rob alone. Leave his family alone and stop this craziness right now. We're going to see more bloodshed in the United States. Rob, before I let you go, you went viral last week for comments you made on the Piers Morgan show. Everyone's trying to get answers about the Charlie Kirk assassination. Yes. Everyone has an opinion, ballistics experts, everyone else. We're still waiting for, you know, medical examiners' reports and data that we're going to learn about that more publicly. But you said from the outset, you smelled a rat. You didn't buy the official narrative that we were being spun. I think a lot of Americans think that we were being lied to about what happened that day. Mm-hmm. What stands out to you as a major problem with this assassination and the official narrative that we're being told?
Well, initially, I was sent word that Charlie Kirk got shot and he was in critical condition. And with the video, the moment I saw it was, wow, that's an exit wound coming out of his neck. And the way his shirt moved, something, there was an impact nearby. I've killed a lot of people closer than that cameraman. And I've seen what happens. I've seen entry wounds and exit wounds. Immediately, it didn't make sense. And then we got a different shooter. The FBI announces they got him. Then the guy running on the roof, the 30-06, how this dude, he took it apart, he put it together. He got a scope on there, took a cold bore shot, took it apart, jumped on a roof, put it together, wrapped it up. All of the texts he's sending that don't sound like any 22-year-old I know. And that's enough. And I'm on the side of the simplest thing is usually what happened. But the moment you ask a question, you get torn down. And it's like, even with, if I said, it doesn't make sense, they're like, why are you saying Israel did it? I'm like, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it doesn't look good. And the second you bring it up, okay, is it? I mean, and with AI and me, you know, especially like with the Bin Laden right now, if I don't see it, I need verification somehow. But when so I wasn't there, so I can't say anything for certain. But is it true that as soon as he was down, his security team took his lapel mic off, gave it to someone else that ran off? What did they do with the SIM card? Did someone take that camera that was right behind him down? Why did they contaminate a crime scene immediately? Is it paved over? Did they rebuild it? Is all of that true? I don't know. But the second you ask, I'm anti-Semitic, and I'm like, I didn't even bring up Israel. Why are you bringing up Israel? Is someone getting paid to defend them for something I'm not even talking about? And all of a sudden, I'm a conspiracy theorist. It's like, no, I've killed a bunch of people for the country. A great American was killed in front of everyone in America. He was for this country. I would like to know why, and stop bullshitting me.
Yes, 100%. Yes, you said it very well. Yeah, the moment you ask a question, you're anti-Semite. No, I've never mentioned him. I've, you know, killed a lot of people on the battlefield for the United States of America. I know ballistics. I know what it looks like when someone's shot. And this story they're spinning doesn't make any sense. So when you're just looking at the ballistics itself, and we're being told this is a 30-06 round, that's what they're told. That the gun, we have the gun. You saw a picture of the gun. That's the gun that was used. They are telling us this.
Yeah, that's
believe?
What they're saying too. And I mean, listen to their excuses. Well, that was a ricochet off his body armor. And I immediately said, no, it wasn't, because that it doesn't do that. Then they said, oh, there was no body armor. Oh, okay. With ballistic gelatin, you know what a 30-06 would do to a man's neck? It would blow his head off. And their response is, oh, he was a superhuman. No, he wasn't. What are you talking? And you know, who was the dude you arrested running around with a gun? Here's one. Is there a gravesite for Charlie Kirk yet? Do we know where it is? How did they get that arena, that huge stadium where a Super Bowl was played, in 11 days? It takes that long to coordinate the parking. How did they get pyrotechnics and everything? Just questions. Why?
Right.
How did that happen? Just make it make sense to someone who's not smart, just like me. Just tell me.
Right. And and they want us to just not ask questions. Why did the FBI not release the first 10 seconds of that video that would have shown this guy, your guy, Tyler, is that who you're saying, laying in a prone position, firing the shot? You release a video of the guy running across the roof, but we never see him actually fire the shot. But we got our guy. There's no video. There's been no video evidence anywhere of this guy, Tyler Robinson, on campus. We can't. But you got him. You know that it's him.
Yeah.
Managed to get this guy.
If you want to dumb it down, too, in a nutshell, it would be the FBI saying, hey, we got him. Hey, we don't got him. Hey, his mom turned him in. What?
Right.
That's basically what happened. Like, immediately saying, we got him. Well, what do you mean? And then even with this, like, okay, here, this is kind of a rabbit hole. But with Erica Kirk immediately saying, I forgive him, it's like, well, you just made him guilty. So now he's guilty. What, have we had a trial yet? I mean, why does this? I like it to be simple. I believe in mastering the basics. Why is this so complex? And why are you like, when I tell the truth and someone counters it, I'll just pull. Here's what I don't immediately get defensive. That's what I do when I lie. It's like, what's really going on here? I mean, even if you go further down this, and this is like late night Instagram story stuff. Like, what was Jack Ruby's full name? And why did Lee Harvey Oswald get killed when he was saying I'm a patsy? What really was going on there? What, I mean, wasn't that the same time we were doing something in a certain country in the Middle East with nukes they weren't supposed to be building?
You're not allowed to ask that question. Anti-Semite. Go ahead, David.
I want to point out something too that I just noticed yesterday. Like, we had about 1,000 people in there, and probably half of them had 4K cameras out the whole time, and all the stuff we get from the official story is potato footage. Nothing is clear.
Yeah. I heard that was the same camera that was the only one on the lawn in front of the Pentagon on 9/11 too.
Right. Zapruder was there.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
He rubbed Vaseline over the camera.
I'm not trying to fuel conspiracies here. I'm actually having a good time. So thanks for tolerating this.
No. I mean, I just come back to the ballistics stuff. You know it better than just about anybody. I mean, you've seen people killed. No, I can get a room full of 1,000 people, and not one person in that room has seen what you've seen. So I want to come back to your expertise on this. When we were told that he was like Superman, his body stopped a .30-06 bullet. His body was like Superman, made of like some sort of a superhuman metal or something like that. What do you believe about that? If a .30-06 round hit Charlie Kirk, what would have happened?
Well, it's going to blow his head off, probably. It's going to be a big mess, too, but then you're going to find remnants of the bullet. I don't think they've even found it yet. Well, they said it's lodged in his spine. Okay, where's the autopsy report? Is that out yet? Why was the chair and the desk moved when you can get a forensic expert in there and find out exactly where the shot was fired from? Was it really a shot taken, or was there some sort of a weird-shaped charged projectile that was near, that was close? There's so much out there, and again, I don't want to try to fuel this. I'm just asking these questions. If they can be refuted, fine. And if you tell me the answer, great, I'll stop asking that. But we're not getting any answers except this is what happened. Shut up, be a good worker.
Right. Yeah. Shut up. You're an anti-Semite. And when the trial happens, you'll look like a fool. That's what we're being told by like all of these people who are immediately in putting Israel. We've never once said that here on the show. So I don't know where they get it from. But anyway,
no.
Rob, great to see you.
That's a tactic of the left, is when you call them out on something, they call you a name. Now the right is doing that to us. So I don't get, anyway, I'm talking over you.
Yeah, exactly. Great to see you, Rob. We should do this more often. Really great to have you here on the show.
Anytime, we're in contact. Anytime you need some solid conspiracies, I'm your guy.
Awesome. Rob, great to see you, my friend. Stay safe. All right. Thanks, Rob.
Conspiracy knower.
Exactly.
You're not a conspiracy theorist. You're a conspiracy knower.
We always say conspiracy theories are 6 month spoiler alerts on our show.
Yeah, we have a shirt in the store.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
If the official story is what, like, if it is exactly what it seems to be, this is where I like, this always bugs me about these situations. Like, let's say what they said is what happened. Why are they being so damn shady and making it look like it's not, like, by withholding, that's what drives me nuts. Right.
That's where conspiracy theories come from. When you drip feed information and you hide stuff, just give it all.
Right.
Let us see it all. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing if all of these people that we have earned
respect for because they say question the government narrative are now don't question this one. Not this one. We like this one. Leave it be. And my respect for so many people is shattering because of that narrative. Like, not this one. This one's all good. let's leave that where it is.
Well, and the thing is, like, if they gave us any bit of information that actually made sense, we would shut up. But none of it makes sense. Not one single thing they've given us makes any sense to me. It doesn't line up at all.
It actually works backwards.
Yeah.
It actually works backwards.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's exactly what they're doing. So they continue to craft a narrative. And then Candace Owens has so many sources reporting things to her that continue to crack it. So the Dairy Queen photo, the bits about the timeline.
The text messages.
Not just that, but then also these new text messages. So I feel like they craft a narrative and they're like, well, that works with what she's got. And then she comes up with something new and they have to go back to the drawing board. Like, it's literally just she's breaking their story little by little. And hopefully we are fighting that fight. We're walking the straight and narrow we're walking the path less taken with her. If we can do whatever we can do as a fellow independent journalist.
All right. Someone in our chat room said, Apophis says pagers were used as assassinations last fall in the Middle East. Yeah. And they were celebrated. I mean, like, Israelis were like, look at this. And if you would have like written that out and said, like, if that was like in a movie, like if that was in a movie that we went to see, none of us would believe it. We're like, that's a ridiculous movie plot. You're going to use pagers and people are going to have these pagers and they're going to blow up and they're going to kill people around the world. No, come on. And they did it.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, we've got more news to get to. We're going to talk about this trans story in a moment. I guess the new line is that, hey, everyone watching right now, you all have a little trans in you. That's how the left is trying to paint it now, that you all have a little trans in you. Just embrace your trans. Talk about that in a moment. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at perplexity.ai and what they're doing with their new AI web browser called Comet. So Comet is a really incredible new web browser that does a lot for you. It'll actually search the web for you, give you different information, basically put in, like, do search results, do all sorts of work for you right inside of the web browser that you don't have to do. So it'll even scrape and, you know, hey, I want to search and do some research here on this YouTube video and then also pull in this information. Well, Perplexity will actually do it for you inside of their new Comet browser. It actually gets things done for you because it's a web browser. Comet can actually use all the accounts that you're already logged into to take action across the web. So maybe you're on YouTube and you want to do some research about a topic. You can have it search up those different YouTube videos and it can scrape it and do different work on it. Maybe stocks, whatever you want, you know, you're researching. Maybe you're logged into your stock account and you want it to, like, help you figure out some new stocks to invest in. All of that. It's like a human online. It can click, type, scroll, and fill out forms just like you would. It saves time and mental energy. So you need to find out what Comet's all about. Check it out today by going to pplx.ai/redacted. And when you do, you get a month of Rumble Premium for free. That's right. So go to download it right today. Perplexity's new AI web-based web browser called Comet. pplx.ai/redacted. Let your browser work for you. Plus, right now, when you download Comet, you get a month of Rumble Premium for free. Take back your time online. Check it out.
Well, here's a new spin for the trans agenda, because the trans agenda is far less socially acceptable as it once was. So here's what they're trying to sell us now. According to new journal articles, medical journals who pushed this BS on us for years, they're saying sometimes you can be trans, sometimes you can be straight, sometimes you can be neither, and it's not a binary. Whereas before the binary was man-woman, now they're saying we need to break down the binary that is cisgender, what they call non-trans people, and trans people, because everybody is in the middle somehow. Now, this is infuriating because after years of telling us that trans is a permanent state, that trans rights are human rights, immutable, now they're saying it is absolutely mutable. And that's infuriating. They have shouted themselves hoarse, insisting that being trans is something you cannot change. They wrapped this in the fetish of academic jargon, preaching that gender identity is immutable and so therefore deserves legal protection like skin color and disability. But now that people are starting to see through the act that there was never real science behind that, the story is changing. So the new line is being trans is too limiting. Sometimes you're trans, sometimes you're neither. Look at this JAMA article where they're trying to push this on us. In this commentary, researchers are claiming that the trans cis binary is outdated and that really gender is multidimensional and fluid. Again, so after years of insisting that trans is absolutely what these people are, you need to accept them as the opposite gender, no questions asked. Now they're saying, no, it's really more of a moving experience. They say that even cis people who don't identify as trans have a little bit of trans in them. Here's where they say that. Now, this is exactly what those of us who are gender critical, they called us TERFs, have been saying all along. That you're not trans, you're just a little bit more feminine or masculine than the average person. That is not novel, but they're pretending that it is. You have to think that they're pretending this because the rates of detransitioning are quite high, according to data, and they're going to pretend that they've always known this. Well, they would have if they had paid attention, but instead they were playing radical activists, because that is literally what all early researchers on gender dysphoria have said for decades. That trans is not a permanent state. According to the first long-term study on the subject starting in the 60s by American researcher Richard Green, he found out from this book, which is hard to find now because they don't want you to have it. I was only able to find, like, it's really tough to find this. He found out that most children who experience gender confusion would grow out of it naturally after puberty, the majority of which were boys, and they ended up being healthy gay men. And so that was the scientific consensus for decades before ideology replaced it. So the irony couldn't be louder here is that the same medical and academic institutions that demanded blind faith in gender ideology as a permanent human right, are now pretending that they always knew that it could be a phase, except it always was this way if you bothered to study. It was them who refused to see it and buried it under ideology. So incredibly frustrating to those of us who were called TERFs for saying this. Yes, it's fluid. Yes, it can be a phase. Yes, you can be a woman with a little bit more masculine. No, they were saying this is a full identity. This is human rights. And now they're rewriting the script because they're a-holes. But, you know, we were consistent all along because we do the effing homework.
So after a decade of like screaming and screaming, no, you're born this way. You know, we're just embracing the way that you were born.
Right.
Now, sorry, that was all a lie. It was just a phase.
That's actually, you can't lock people into transness. They're going to come and go. They don't recognize the fact that renaming somebody using their brand new name, a brand new identity, has harmful effects. It locks them into a medicalized path. They're pretending that, like, oh, no, we always knew this. Actually, this is just, it was just always too, you know, cis and trans, too much of a binary.
I'm
so screw those people. They went along with this and children got hurt.
I'm sorry, I might have missed when you said this, but what is the purpose of this? Why are they saying this now specifically?
To pretend that they never meant it. That, like, oh, you know, this was...
So they're gaslighting us.
I suppose so. I mean, I think that they're trying to say, oh, the most recent research shows, when actually what they're validating is the decades-old research. Like, we're trying to figure it out now that trans is and cis is a binary that never existed, so we need to be more fluid, when literally that's what gender critics have been saying all along. It's like a face save, I guess, but we're not buying it.
Yeah.
Because we've done the homework. So.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm annoyed. Beyond annoyed.
So, well, then how does this play into their push for surgeries? You know, if it's very fluid and none of it's permanent and you're not really born this way.
Well, they can pretend that we've just discovered that it's fluid. So maybe we don't need the surgeries because most rational governments are taking them away from children. I mean, anyone. Go ahead.
Detachable penises. That's the solution, Clayton.
There we
detachable
go. Detachable penises. Yeah, magnetic.
It's a great song. Detachable. I don't know if you saw the Supreme Court just struck down that Colorado law.
They have not ruled on it. They are hearing oral arguments I know.
And can you explain? This is crazy where you wouldn't have to seek or you wouldn't have to support the therapy of it. But
we will talk about this. I want to read what was reported from their oral arguments before. I'm not quite prepared for that today.
All right. Hopefully the Supreme Court knocks that down, though. It was the Colorado crazies.
Yes. And so, again, what they call not allowing a child to transition, they call it conversion therapy, but really it's converting them to their birth gender. And so it's a double negative. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. Yeah. I don't want to confuse you.
Go ahead.
Oh, just conversion therapy. Isn't that, or you're not talking about like the Christian conversion therapy of like the, like pray the gay away kind of stuff where they force people
that's
to not
what
be
they,
gay.
They use that. So
pray the gay.
Yes. They use that. And there's a lot of research that shows, in fact, if you read the book of Miriam Grossman, that there are people who are gay who want to seek out therapy to not be gay. We should not disallow that. We should just not force it on anyone who does want to be gay. So
like Milo Yiannopoulos?
What was that?
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Milo Yiannopoulos? Yeah. No, I'm talking about the work of Miriam Grossman. There's plenty of groups of men who actually want to live a straight life and have gay tendencies and do voluntarily go to groups. We totally discount their agency and say that that should be illegal. You should be able to do what you want. If you want to not be gay, you should be able to seek support for that. That exists. So when a trans kid says that they are a trans identified person says, I want to be a girl, or let's say I say I want to be a boy and I want to seek support. And, you know, they say if you don't allow that, you're converting them, but you can't convert me back to a woman. I'm a woman. I don't think I'm explaining this well because I didn't prepare notes.
Ex-bootlicker in our chat says, yeah, that's not what Netflix told the children. Yeah, I mean, if you see all the blowback on Netflix over the past few weeks and people canceling Netflix like crazy because these trans, you know, the trans agenda cartoons that are pushing on children, basically telling them you're born this way.
Yeah, I've been hip to this one because my girls like the Babysitter's Club and I used to love those books. So I let them watch the show. And there's an episode of the show where Marianne is babysitting for a boy who is
in the hospital,
in the hospital, who is identified as a trans girl. The doctors come in and they're treating this boy for appendicitis and they call him a boy. And then Marianne takes the doctors aside and lectures the doctors, I mean, about the medicalization of this child and say, you're making her feel bad. You need to, refer to her as her. Ironically enough, that actor is a boy and was displaying gay tendencies early, and the mom literally said of this actor, I don't want to have a gay son, so I'd rather have a daughter, and transitioned this gay boy into a girl. And that's how that boy got that role as a trans kid. So it really is abusive and homophobic towards that young boy. And, you know, I had to tell my daughters, you know, this babysitter is in no position to lecture a doctor about the biology of this child. Can you see this here? It's incredibly damaging. You got me on a tangent.
Love tangents.
We'll leave it there.
Natalie Tangent. Okay, hey, we have a daily newsletter. I would love for you all to subscribe. All of the tens of thousands of you watching right now, are you subscribers? Because it's free and it brings you value every morning in your inbox. Like when you're having your coffee, you're having your eggs and your bacon and your meat in the morning. Not terrible cereal. You wouldn't eat that crap, right? So when you're having like a normal breakfast, an American breakfast, and you want to read a good newsletter, crack open the Redacted newsletter. You just sign up by going to redacted.inc. You put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email, and you just have to confirm it. It might go to your spam folder or some other place. Gmail has labeled our newsletter as dangerous, so they might give you a dangerous warning on the newsletter, because we tell the truth. So, but anyway, you just have to click confirm and then you will receive the newsletter the following morning. So tomorrow morning on Thursday morning, you'll receive the newsletter. We publish it Monday through Thursday, every day that we do this show. So Monday through Thursday, we'll be back here live tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. I hope you're subscribed to the show. If you're on YouTube, you can turn on the little bell notification. I don't know if it does anything, because people say all the time that they're subscribed to the show, they've turned on the bell notification, and then YouTube doesn't send them an alert or a notification. I don't know if they fixed that, you know, because Congress was like going after them pretty hot and heavy for suppression of conservative voices.
In the entirety of the time I've been on doing this show, I've had two notifications that we were live, and they were like several days late.
And you work here, and you still can't get a damn notification.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's check in with Grim. Grim is here. He's our graphics artist. He does all of our great graphics here on the show and does all of that. Grim, do you ever get notifications at all by any chance?
I do, but I'm special.
No.
See, what is
he's a veteran.
And by the way, because you're a veteran, that's why. That's because you're a U.S. veteran. Maybe that's why you get notifications. Maybe they're just biased towards veterans. Could be.
As it should be.
As it should be. Yes, exactly. And you also get a discount when you go to like Denny's and stuff like that. So that's good. Really.
Exactly.
They really take care of you.
And I'm old.
Not that old.
We charge him full retail at the redacted store.
No, yes. Yes, exactly. All right, everyone. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Had a lot of fun talking with all of you, exposing these stories that the mainstream media ignores, even if it's uncomfortable. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night, everyone.